Welcome to the podcast of Mosaic Church, celebrating diversity within community.
And then things changed. They turned very, very rapidly. Very rapidly. And let's talk about why. So let me just give you the overview of the story of the triumphal entry into Jerusalem. You can go and read it in any of the Gospels for yourself. But there's a moment at which Jesus is coming into Jerusalem. And if you take John's account, it's right after Lazarus was raised from the dead. And it's a frenzy. Jesus is coming in to Jerusalem, and people are just losing it. They're taking off their coats. They're throwing them on the ground. It says they're waving palm branches. They're yelling, "Hosanna in the highest." Here comes Jesus riding in on a borrowed donkey. All this stuff is prophetic. Like, we can go back in the Old Testament and see the prophecies that point to these exact things. And it's just like this thing is just welled up in the city, and they are losing their minds. But something happened, because we celebrated on Sunday. On Thursday, we celebrate Maundy Thursday, which is the day that we celebrate that God broke the bread, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Take and eat, remember me." And that night, at that meal, is when he basically tells them, "Hey, Judas is about to betray me," and tells them to go and do it, and Judas leaves. And later that night, they're praying in the garden, and Judas comes. Crowd comes to scoop Jesus up. They go and beat him. Yet the crowd that was just ripping their clothes off, throwing them on the ground, waving branches, screaming Hosanna, is now yelling, "Crucify him." Something has happened. And Peter engages that. In fact, if you remember from Acts 3 last week, Peter basically said, You guys did this. I mean, it was, you guys handed him over to be crucified. And it was kind of startling. Seems like Peter's got a grudge to, if we stop there, we're going to pick it up today. But if we just stop there, it's like, man, Peter really is being harsh on this group of people. But that's what happened. And what I want to, before we're going to open up scripture and read the rest of what Peter says in just a second, but here's what I want to suggest, is that these folks had created, within the religious system that they were worshiping in and doing all this stuff in, the objects of their worship had become, or the objects they used to worship had become greater than the object that they were worshiping. That the law, this thing that God set in place that they could use as a way to live their life in a sacrificial manner, to show God that I'm trying my best to be holy, and even when I fail, we've got these sacrifices and we're doing all this stuff just to be obedient to you, had now become the object they were worshiping. They began to worship the law and not the thing that it was pointing to. This golden cow had been set up before him. And what I want to bring up is, like, we all have that tendency to allow the things that enhance and that we utilize to worship God, we can allow all those things to become objects of our worship if we're not careful. And we can see this, like, clearly. I mean, you can go around just easily. And there's some places that, they pride themselves on, we dress up when we go to worship, right? I mean, I remember, I won't name any names, you may know it, but I remember when I came to town, like, it was a big deal that one of the local churches was letting women wear pants on Wednesdays now. And they pride themselves on that. I can speak from my own family experience. My granddad was this way. I remember seeing my granddad cut the grass in his dress pants and his dress shoes, and like that's just what he did. And so to go before God on Sunday, you had to look your best. And so I had to wear like the whole thing. And all my friends, now we went to a church that wasn't necessarily like that, but my dad had was raised up that way. He had kind of become that way. And now he's just kind of bringing us along in this way. And so we're going to this church that's not that way at all. And all my friends are wearing like jeans and shorts and whatever. And here I am, I'm out, I got the khakis, I got this stuffy shirt, you know, and it's got too much starch on it. And I got the tie because I only, you know, wore it one day a week. And so that was, it's kind of me. Some people like, hey, you know what? We worship very informally, and somehow that becomes a God. I remember sitting on a boat in Charleston on the Cooper River, and we were taking a boat ride, and it was this church staff meeting on a boat. So that's pretty cool, church staff meeting. I'll give it to you. But the pastor was asking this question and said, do we have any golden cows? Do we have any of these things that we've set up? And everybody's like really patting themselves on the back. It's like, no, we can't think of any. And I'm just kind of sitting there like, we all have those things. So finally, everybody gets quiet. And I said, well, I mean, Friar, what do you think? And I was like, well, I think, yeah, we have golden cows. What do you mean? What are they? I was like, well, Sunday morning. Music, the style of music, where we were meeting at a local school that had become like this thing that moving out of that we couldn't fathom. Like, you know what the golden cows are as soon as you start changing them. And it's not to say that any of those are bad. It's just, I'm just saying, hey, we need to be aware of them so they don't become objects of worship. Because this is what had happened to the people of Israel. This stuff that they were doing had become objects of worship. Over the last year and a half, 2 years, we've seen churches celebrate in their worship service the fact that they are taking COVID precautions. We've seen churches celebrate on Sunday morning the fact that they haven't taken COVID precautions. What are we supposed to be celebrating in church? None of that stuff. Jesus, right? And that was what That's what happened to Israel. God gave them this thing, and the prophets were pointing all the way back from Abraham when God gave the original promise through Moses, through the rest of the prophets that followed. They were all, Samuel, as he anointed the king, like all these prophets are pointing forward to Jesus, and they had let this thing, they had a blind spot, and they let this thing become the object of their worship, rather than the one that they were supposed to be worshiping, the thing that all the prophets were pointing to. The prophets had become greater than the Messiah that was sitting right in front of their face. But we do see today that there was a reason for that. Doesn't mean that it didn't exist, and Peter still calls that sin, even while acknowledging that Jesus did it. So let's read it. Acts 3. I just bring all that up to say, hey, we're going to talk about this morning because there are blind spots that we all have. And there are golden cows that we all set up. And it doesn't mean that they're bad and we have to change them. All it means is be aware of it so it doesn't become that object of worship. So this is what has happened. Peter has just basically said, God allowed Jesus to die and you did it. And he says this is the means by which this man was healed, right? So this is what's coming off of the heels of that. So I'm going to start in in chapter 2. You know what, I'm just going to start in chapter 3. I'm just going to read chapter 3, 1 through all of chapter 3. Now Peter and John, so right after the Holy Spirit has come, right after Peter has stood up and given this grand announcement of what the kingdom of God looks like and what the salvation of God looks like, it says 3,000 people were added to their number that day. It talks about kind of some of the activities they did, which Jonathan brought forth a couple weeks ago, and then it starts here in Acts 3, now Peter and John were going up to the temple for the time of prayer at 3 in the afternoon. A man who was lame from birth was being carried there. He was placed each day at the temple gate called Beautiful so that he could beg from those entering the temple. When he saw Peter and John about to enter the temple, he asked for money. Peter, along with John, looked straight at him and said, "Look at us." And so he turned to them, expecting to get something from them. But Peter said, I don't have silver or gold, but what I do have, I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, get up and walk. And then taking him by the right hand, he raised him up, and at once his feet and ankles became strong. So he jumped up and started to walk, and he entered the temple with them, walking and leaping and praising God. And they recognized that he was the one who used to sit at the and beg at the beautiful gate to the, of the temple. So they were filled with awe and astonishment at what had happened to him. And while he was holding on to Peter and John, all the people, utterly astonished, ran toward them in what is called Solomon's Colonnade. When Peter saw this, he addressed the people, "Fellow Israelites, why are you amazed at this? Why do you stare at us as though we had made him walk by our own power or godliness? The God of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, the God of our ancestors, has glorified his servant Jesus, whom you handed over and denied before Pilate. Though he had decided to release him, you deny the holy and righteous one and asked to have a murderer released to you. You killed the source of life, whom God raised from the dead, and we are witnesses of this. By faith in his name, he made this man strong. By faith in his name has made this man strong, whom you see and know. So the faith that comes through Jesus has given him this perfect health in front of all of you. And now, brothers and sisters, I know that you acted in ignorance, just as your leaders did. In this way, God fulfilled what he had predicted through all the prophets, that his Messiah would suffer. Therefore, repent and turn back so that your sins may be wiped out, that seasons of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord, and that he may send Jesus, who has been appointed for you as the Messiah. Heaven must receive him until the time of restoration of all things which God spoke about through his holy prophets from the beginning. Moses said, the Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among your brothers and sisters. You must listen to everything he tells you. And everyone who does not listen to that prophet will be completely cut off from the people. In addition, all the prophets who have spoken from Samuel and those after him have also foretold of these days. You are the sons of the prophets and of the covenant that God made with your ancestor, saying to Abraham, and all the families of the earth will be blessed through your offspring. God raised up his servant and sent him first to you to bless you by turning each of you from your evil ways. Let's pray. God of power and strength, God of all wisdom and our creator, we ask that you would speak through these words to our hearts, that we may be molded and changed by them. In your name we pray. Amen. Peter, in the very first part of this section, so after he just basically said, you guys did this, but it was through the faith in his name that Jesus raised him from the dead. Now, brothers and sisters, I know that you acted in ignorance just as your leaders did. Peter is saying, hey, you messed up. You allowed something that wasn't as good as the Creator to drive you to the point where you destroy the source of life. But you acted in ignorance. And your leaders acted in ignorance. You had this blind spot to it, to what was going on, to this thing that was good, but now you made into an object of worship. I was reading this week in 2 Kings. Never picked up on this. As many times, I probably read the Bible through front to back probably 15 times. And like I said, each time God reveals something new. I'd never noticed this before. But there's a story when Josiah, I think it was Josiah, it may have been Hezekiah, but one of the actual good kings, you know, it's like you read like so many times. Like I remember every time it starts out with a new king, and like I find myself being hopeful as I start reading. And it says he continued in the ways of his father and he was against God. And it's like, man. And then there's these handful that's like, they actually didn't go with their fathers and they did what was right in the sight of the Lord. And they did these things. And some of them stopped short of going all the way. But Josiah was Like, we're doing, it's either Josiah or Hezekiah. I could be getting it wrong, and I apologize. I didn't go back and look. But there was this point of it was there was this king who was, like, he was like, we're getting rid of it all. We're breaking down the Asherah poles. We're tearing down all the high places. Because some of them said, yeah, they followed God, but they didn't. They left the altars and the high places and the Asherah poles, and they left some of the stuff where people would go and worship other gods. They didn't tear those down. But this king said, nope, we're getting rid of all of it. Pulverized this, he smashed this, he tore this down. And then it says, they even took the snake that Moses had put up in the desert and ground it to dust because the people began to worship it. They even had a name for it. There was this thing that God had given Moses and said, put it up on a pole because when one of these serpents bites one of these Israelites, if they turn and look, they will be saved. They won't die from the serpent bite. And that had become an object of their worship rather than the God who had the power to do that. They began to put the power into the snake, the serpent that was on this pole, rather than God. They even had a name for this idol. It had become, it was something God intended for good, and it had now become an idol for them. And so this king recognized it, he just pulverized it. Somehow I had missed that completely when I was reading scripture. I mean, it's just one little line. They don't really go on about it. Just, you know, he does it. And I was like, man, here's this really good thing that God did that they had these blind spots to, and they just had to let this thing become an idol for them rather than the God who, through his power, allowed their act of obedience to turn and look at this to save them. They put it in this created image. And Peter is acknowledging before the people, you've done this, but you acted in ignorance. So they find themselves in this place where they had let the objects of their that enhanced their worship, that kind of guided their worship, had now become the object of their worship to the point where they killed the source of life. And Peter says, but you acted in ignorance. There was some ignorance there. And your leaders had that same ignorance. In fact, I think that was Peter's way of saying it was just passed down to you. And you just bought into it as well. But he also acknowledges it was in this way that God fulfilled what he had predicted through these prophets, that his Messiah would suffer. Peter acknowledged, like, you messed up, you did something wrong, you had this blind spot, you allowed it to drive you to a point where you killed the source of life, but you did it in ignorance. And God used it to fulfill his good work. God used it to fulfill what he was going to do. Some people at this point stop and ask the question, we did at our study on Tuesday, or at least touched on it. So is did God create them, these people to sin? I don't believe that. But they did, and God used it for his glory. He said, you acted in ignorance. You killed the source of life. You did it in ignorance, but God used it because it was foretold through the prophets. But guess what? Because he died, because God used that thing for good, you have a way out. Therefore, repent and turn back so that your sins may be wiped out. Peter lays out for them, hey, you messed up. I'm not letting you off the hook. I'm not getting you. You're not getting any special treatment. You messed up. But there's a way out. Just acknowledge it and turn to God. It's real simple. Just acknowledge it and turn to God. Repent and turn back so that your sins may be wiped out. And then there's this promise that seasons of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord, that he may send Jesus who's been appointed for you as the Messiah. That there's this idea that there's these times of refreshing that's going to come. There's another translation that says, I forget what it says, but I'm going to keep reading real quick. Heaven must receive him until the time of the restoration of all things that God spoke about. So he said, he's captured in heaven for these times, for this end of this restoration of all things. This was something that was very deep into the Jewish men and women's idea of the end of times or the afterlife, that there would be some time at which God would restore things. It's also has come forward to us as Christians. There's this idea that God would restore all things. It was what the prophets were pointing from. When God gave Moses that original word, he said, you're going to be the father of a lot of people, and it's going to be through you that we're going to bring the salvation of all people, so that at the end time, everything can be restored. There's be this great time of restoration where heaven and earth will come together. And we develop that. I'm kind of adding some things that we develop into it later. But God will do for us what he did for Jesus in raising him from the dead. That just as scripture said, that Jesus was the firstborn of the dead. He was just the first. The rest of us get that same thing. And Peter is saying, hey, you get this too. All you got to do is acknowledge it and turn back. You too get the forgiveness of sins. And guess what? While Jesus has to be in heaven until the restoration of all things, which is going to be great, in the meantime, the kingdom of God still steps in. There are still times of refreshing that come in the meantime. Repent and turn back so that your sins may be wiped out, that seasons of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. There's times in our lives where we catch glimpses of the kingdom of heaven. Peter and John had just experienced that. There was a glimpse of the kingdom of heaven where all things will be restored, where there will be no lame people. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, stand up and walk. The kingdom of God was displayed in front of those people. Or we don't know if people were there, but he eventually walked in and everybody saw him. And the kingdom of God was displayed. It broke in that moment. There are times of refreshing that come. Sometimes they're in grand ways. The lame walk, the blind are healed, the dead are raised back to life. It didn't stop at Jesus. Jesus promised his disciples, you will have the same power that raised Jesus from the dead lives in us. Jesus promised disciples, you will do greater things than me. You'll see glimpses of this. It's not going to happen all the time. It will one day because all things will be restored. We've been promised this from the very beginning. Taking in time, we'll catch glimpses of it. There'll be these little glimpses of God's kingdom breaking in. And Peter and John just got to be a part of one of them. Who knows? We don't get the rest of this guy's story. We see him just in Acts 3. Who knows how God used this lame man to display and help reveal the kingdom of God to individuals throughout the rest of his life. We see what happened with some of the disciples. We don't get all of them's story. But we see through some of the disciples. In fact, in a couple of weeks, we're going to be reading about Philip. And we see God breaking in these unique ways. Not all the time in Philip's life, but just, you know, Holy Spirit tells Philip, hey, you need to go down to this road. Okay. I don't know why, but okay. He goes down to the road and he sees a chariot riding by. It's got some fancy guys in it. And he hears one of them reading from the book of Isaiah. Pretty good indication that's probably why he was there. He runs up beside it, says, what are you doing? He said, I'm reading this. You understand it? No, how can I unless somebody explains it to me? He invites him up. He's able to take Isaiah and explain the gospel to this Ethiopian. The Ethiopian says, well, what's going to keep me from being baptized now? There's some water. Philip says, nothing if you believe. I do believe. I believe that Jesus is the source of life. I'm bringing in Acts 3 to that. That's not exactly what we hear in Acts like 6. So he goes down and baptizes him. Philip's gone. It says when he comes up out of the water, he does not see Philip any longer. But he goes on rejoicing because he has now received the greatest inbreaking of the kingdom of God, this changing of his heart, the salvation of humanity has occurred to this Ethiopian. And Philip shows up somewhere else. Jesus, remember, he walks through the wall. He just kind of appears to the disciples. We see little pieces of these times of refreshing, this inbreaking of the kingdom of God. Those are grandiose. I am a firm believer that when we knock on someone's door and pray for them, when we feed somebody who's hungry, when we fill up gas for somebody, when we pray for a friend who's in need, whether they are looking for prayer in that moment or not, when we are able to be the voice of that and offer that, that that's ways that we show and display the kingdom of God here on earth just as it is in heaven, allowing the Holy Spirit to then work in that person's life. Who knows what God's going to do with that? We don't have to know that answer. Philip didn't know that answer. Peter had a lot of faith, but I don't think he knew everything that was going to happen when he said to the guy, hey, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, stand up and walk. He just was being obedient to where the Spirit was moving him. I've given money to people. I don't know whatever happened to it. But I felt like it was the right thing to do in the moment. That's God's business, not mine. Sometimes we want pats on the back for some things that we read in the Bible. Like, yeah, I forgave my enemy. And we let a lot of people know about it because we want that pat on the back. We're not going down that road. All I'm saying is, that's not necessary. We don't know what's going to happen with that. What is God going to do with that? All we're tasked to do is to display the kingdom of God in front of other people, and that's all Peter did. In the name of Jesus Christ, now stand up and walk. It drew a crowd, and it gave Peter a chance to say, hey, you've got blind spots. You haven't been seeing this. It drove you to a place where you kill the source of life, but guess what? You can now repent and be forgiven of all of it. And you too get to experience not only the restoration of all things, which is going to be great, it's when now the kingdom of God is not just breaking in, but now we are in it, and that's going to be fantastic. But you also get these times of refreshing that are coming. He's telling them, you don't have to wait. We got it now. All that's required is to repent of what you've done and turn away from it. How freeing is that? How freeing is that for a group of people that had put a lot of extra stuff on their salvation? For a group of people that said, it's this whole law. It's now we have to know what the prophet said so we can be aware of it, which they weren't because they missed a big one. It's all these extra things. The way the scripture put it is they put a yoke or a burden on themselves that they couldn't even bear. And Peter's offering them this freedom of saying, all you got to do, pretty simple, repent and turn. And you get this. You get not only the benefit of the end, but you get these little inbreakings of the kingdom of God now, these times of refreshing that will come from God. And Peter then goes and he points to the prophets because he knows his crowd. These folks would have wanted to hear from the Old Testament, from their scriptures. They would have wanted to hear from it. So Peter gives it to them. He said, this has been pointed back since the very beginning of time, basically. He points first to Moses and says, Moses even told him, the Lord your God will raise up from among you a prophet like me from your brothers and sisters. You must listen to everything he tells you. And everyone who does not listen to that prophet will be completely cut off from the people. He just goes back to Moses and gives him the same warning that he's just given him. In addition, let's go to the other prophets, Peter says. In addition, all the prophets who had spoken from Samuel and those after him have also foretold of these days. You are the sons of prophets and of the covenant that God made with his ancestor Abraham, and all the families of the earth will be blessed through your offspring. Peter gives them what they're looking for. He goes back into their scripture and says, the prophets even pointed to this. They were pointing all the way back from thousands of years ago forward towards a restoration of all things which you yourselves believe, but you missed how to get there. God has now provided this Messiah whom you killed because you were misled. You were ignorant. Your leaders were ignorant. You were ignorant. But I'm here to tell you, it's easy to get out of it. All you got to do is repent and turn back, and you get these things from God. And he made it easy for them. How liberating would that be for somebody who had grown up your whole life thinking, I got to do all these things, and I got to do them in the same way everybody else has done them, and I got to make sure that when I do mess up, nobody else sees it, because there were like a lot of, you know, there was a lot of judgment floating around. There were some people that said, hey, if you do something so bad, we're going to stone you to death. And that was still happening. We'll get to Acts 7 here in a little while. That was still happening. So if you did something real bad, you really didn't want people to know about it. But there was this yoke and burden they couldn't bear. And now Peter's telling them, all you got to do to get this reward that you've been promised about your whole life, all you have to do is repent and believe in this. And it's done for you. And you get times of refreshing in the midst of it. How liberating would that be? Well, we see through Acts it's not always so liberating. It is liberating. Let me rephrase that. Not everybody sees it as that. Paul is one of them. God has to teach him in a different way, and we'll get there. But it's simple. It allows us to let our hair down and let other people do their thing, and we can do our thing, and trusting that God is moving us both in the same direction towards the restoration of all things, but maybe in different paths, because we're not, God created us all different. We're not all the same. We see even differences in Scripture, right? We see a big one in Acts a little bit later. Paul and Barnabas kind of duke it out. Peter and Paul kind of duke it out. You know? Both men led by God. Just kind of, you know. But he's telling them, we're making it easy. God has made it easy for you. I'm just being the conduit to tell you it's not as hard as we're making it. All we got to do is believe in this. The way that Peter is putting it is that there's going to be this time of restoration of all things, a time when everything is going to be put right. When there's not going to be beggars begging at the temple gate, when there's not going to be people going hungry, where there's not going to be widows, there's not going to be orphans, there's not going to be war, there's not going to be famine, there's not going to be any of that. Everything's going to be good, and it's coming. And Scripture's been pointing to it, and it comes through Jesus. And here's what Peter's saying. He said, guess what? It's already happened to Jesus. He's been raised from death to life. He's defeated death. And so he's experienced this now. And you get it too. That was the reason they were worshiping on Palm Sunday. They just let these other things get in the way. They let some other things get in their way to convince their minds that this wasn't God, that this wasn't right, this wasn't true. And so they crucified him. But Peter is saying that because of the death and the resurrection, anyone who turns away from the life that they've been leading and turns to God, even more specifically, anyone who yelled for the blood of Jesus' body, the crucifixion of Jesus, and the Jewish rulers who sent him off to Pilate, even though Pilate already said he could be released, anyone, all those people included, can know the joy, the advanced joy of being forgiven, of being refreshed by the love and the mercy of God, of discovering new life and the purposes that come in following Jesus. And we get that today too. And so, for those who already believe? Well, for those who don't believe, whether you join us online or in this room, it's easy. You just turn away from what you've been doing and believe in Jesus. Acknowledge Jesus as Messiah. Put your faith, trust, and hope in him. It is the word repent and believe. For those of us who do already believe, there's a warning from Peter. Beware of your blind spots. Doesn't mean that they're not good. Doesn't mean that a serpent held up in the desert's not good. Doesn't mean that coming into a building on Sunday isn't good. But what it does mean is those aren't the things that you're worshiping. The things you're worshiping is the God who created all this, the God who can restore, who will restore all things one day, and who can now bring in times of refreshing to you in the meantime. We get to be people who display that to others, who can display the kingdom of God to other people who don't yet know that God exists or believe that God exists or trust yet that God exists. This week, I hired a new employee last week and found out in the interim. She started with me this week, found out in the interim. I found out on Friday because we had a great conversation, because that was the point of my story, is she calls herself a witch. You'd never know it. Super sweet, super. It's not like, you know, I know there's like a stigma when you say that. I would have used the word Wiccan, but she told me that that was like a denomination within that. I did not know that. I was like, okay. But guess what we got to have on Friday? A great conversation about theology. She actually grew up in a Christian home, but she said it never quite took. And she just begins to pour out some of these reasons that it didn't quite take. What a great conversation to have in light of what's happening with Peter right here in Acts 3. You acted in ignorance a bit, but you're making it harder than it needs to be. And other people have too, and sometimes that drives people away, but we don't have to. We can just rely on the Holy Spirit to do the drawing. And so you can pray with me. I don't know if this, since we're on the internet, I doubt that you'd ever see this, but I would rather not. So, but you could be praying with me for an employee of mine, that God would draw her heart to him. And we get to be people who just display the kingdom of God. And it looks different for all of us. Some of our giftings are different. Sue was telling me last week that one of her gifts that God has given her, it's not mine, but she actually laughed and said, it's not a lot of guys. Or maybe it is, but they don't like to engage it. She goes and knocks on people's door. How can we pray for you? How can we bless you today? The kingdom of God breaking in into small places. Some of you guys have come to me and say, yeah, I know somebody who's needs tires. Angie told us about a lady who needed tires a while back, which was really important because she lived in her car. So I like to say that we fixed her foundation. That sounds a lot more expensive than tires, but we just bought her tires. But still, that was a piece of the kingdom of God coming into someone's life. When we roll out with a food trailer and we go someplace where we hope, where we trust that God is leading us to people who don't have enough food and are able to feed them, it's a piece of the kingdom of God breaking in. When we can wrap our arms around somebody who's broken, who's just lost a loved one, it's a piece of the kingdom of God breaking in. And when we do those things, the Bible tells us that we can live our lives in such a way that people ask us questions. And just as 1 Peter told us, when they do, be ready to give an answer for the hope that lies in you. The hope isn't that I will have no mourning in my life, but the hope is that all things will be restored one day. And so we get to live in that. So let us pray to this God who has loved us so graciously and so extravagantly and so lavishly that he has given us what we needed before we ever even knew that we needed it. God, we are thankful. We're thankful for this Sunday morning that people came out to the streets, that we remember people coming out to the streets to worship you, to acknowledge who you were and yet forgot very quickly. We know that could very easily be our story. So my prayer for us this morning, God, is that we would be aware of our blind spots, that we would be aware of those places where we're close to just worshiping something other than you. And it happens to us. And so, God, we're so thankful for forgiveness when it does. We're so thankful that we can repent and turn back to you. We're sorry that we can't live a perfect life, but you told us that we couldn't. You knew that in your foreknowledge. You sent your son who did live a perfect life, who took on the penalty that we deserved so that we could experience the restoration of all things, the goodness that comes with being in God's kingdom eternally. God, thank you for moments and times when we see a break into our broken world as it exists now. May we be people who hear from your Spirit and actively move into what you're calling us to display the kingdom of God to others. God, we're so thankful that we have that opportunity. We love you, God. In your name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening to today's podcast. If you would like more information, please visit us at www.mosaiceasley.org.